to my life. I can take a wild guess. You know what's crazy? What is this?
Sushi means sex.
What is going on this show?
It's the lighter side of the dark side.
Oh, no, he didn't.
What did you do, man? What did you do?
Yes, happy 2014, motherfuckers. It's the Dark Mark Show. Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side, your Thursday night freak show. We had kind of a tenuous co-hosting situation. I thought for 1 week I wouldn't have a beautiful woman in the studio co-hosting, but Matt Zane took care of that.
Of course.
We have the beautiful, intelligent lawyer, Christine, will be co-hosting tonight.
Christina. Law school. She's almost a lawyer. Got a little bit more to go.
Christina, I do apologize for messing up your name. I just met you and
I know you didn't expect her to come, but listen, the good news is that you know, if we ever should get into any areas that we shouldn't be talking about, she can you know, I don't know like what the rules are here. I'm sure
there's
like,
no rules. You can say whatever you want. And look, Matt Zane, superstar.
Really?
And I thought
it's been a while since anybody's called me that before.
Well, hopefully that'll be again. And I figured if anybody's going to bring a beautiful woman in here, it's going to be Matt Zane.
Of course.
And Alex Crescioni is also here. He is
another beautiful person.
There's a lot of hot guys. Normally we have a male producer. We have Jeremy, who's in charge of Skid Row Studios. Today, Jenny has taken over. And boy, look between me, Matt, and Alex, look at all this beefcake, huh?
Yummy deliciousness.
Yeah, exactly.
She looks really excited.
Yes, yeah. She looks thrilled.
Yeah.
But it's great. And first off, Josie Katz on vacation. She's over in Vietnam causing all sorts of ruckus. Or I think she's in Thailand, Cambodia. She's in some foreign country doing God knows what. She's playing with tigers, and I think the tiger needed a rabies shot after he bit her. But and then we were supposed to have Amy Ashton. Amy Ashton? Amy Ashton is a comedian. Elizabeth Ashton, I've had a weird day. Elizabeth Ashton was supposed to be our co-host, the lovely, beautiful Elizabeth Ashton, who always tells me I should have Alex Crescioni on as a guest. And we did once.
And here he is again.
Now we're going to actually get in depth with Alex. She was supposed to be our co-host. She was supposed to be back on New Year's Eve. She was snowed in. She's in Wisconsin. And then I guess she's in Minnesota now, so she's snowed in. But sorry, Elizabeth. Next week, come on in, and I won't call you Amy Ashton. But before we get started, I do want to say the New Year got started, but we got some good stuff coming up. Now, Society One is playing in the House of Blues on January 15th.
Oh, we're jumping right into it.
Well, no, we're going to get into that. The reason I mention that is the next day, mm-hmm. on Thursday, January 16th, mm-hmm. Dark Mark will be playing Flappers in the main room as part of Crazy Cindy's show. Crazy Cindy does these shows. Last time I did a show was at the Comedy Store. I had Brett Ernst from the Vince Vaughn Wild West show followed me and said I looked like a Batman villain. And then I scared the shit out of Jeffrey Ross. So there's going to be headliners. Go to Flapper's website. Check it out. Go to my Facebook page. You'll get all the information. So I didn't know who I was going to have this week. I knew Elizabeth was going to be there. I knew Alex was going to be here. And Elizabeth's like, well, Alex is working on Matt Zane's Society One project.
Yes, he is, yeah.
I said, Matt Zane? And I've heard all sorts of things about Matt Zane. The thing I have to apologize about, Matt, I don't watch a lot of porn.
Yeah.
I know I look like I do. I know I look like the target audience.
Yeah.
But I don't watch a lot of porn. So I've never seen the legendary Backstage Sluts series that you directed, that you were the auteur for.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because it's just like you mentioned that, you know, you've heard a lot about it, and I have to go through the same thing with my girlfriend here. She constantly hears about stuff of me all the time, and none of it's any good, so, you know.
I'm not sure if you saw on Facebook where this girl I know, Carrie.
No, I saw.
Said, is that the one where you threw lunch meat on girls?
Yeah, that's me. That's absolutely me, and I'm surprised when you wrote back, and you were like, yeah, I'm not familiar. I didn't get that far into his work, but you obviously...
No, I knew it was you.
Yeah.
Because if you Google, and I'm sure, Christina, you probably... When you met him, you probably did.
I've Googled.
If you go to YouTube and put Matt Zane... The first thing that comes up is a VH1 clip where you're defending throwing lunch meat on women in your adult movies.
It is true. And it's really funny because we just watched that the other day. And, like, I have certain
things. Did you have sandwiches or?
No. I don't eat bread. That's a whole other story. But, no, it's like whenever we watch stuff from my past, like, we'll get together and I'll say, okay, well, this is one of the things that is approved that I can let you watch. And that video was, we figured it was okay because it was on VH1.
Right.
And so we watched it. We just watched that one the other day of me, and I said, you have to see how I defend throwing lunch meat on women's butts. It's really
It is pretty funny.
It's comical because it doesn't make any sense, you know, but I didn't really make any sense back in the 90s at all. It was, you know, I was just out of my mind.
Well, the person I was interviewing you didn't make a lot of sense either.
Well, you know, I don't think anybody really made a lot of sense on that special, but they had to make a special about a guy that was throwing lunch meat on chicks' butts. So, I mean, of course, the whole thing within itself was just absolutely insane.
Now, what sticks the best? Ham, salami, pastrami?
You're really making me go back into my memory here, like, you know, because it's been a long time since I've done that stuff.
Capicola, I mean, what is it?
From what I remember, I think the bologna actually worked the best. You know,
makes sense. If it's really thinly sliced ham, I think that
It doesn't work that way because it had like this gelatin like coating on it. You know,
right.
And here's the funny thing about it: like, if you're laughing because like VH1 is actually talking about me throwing, it's just absurd if you think about it. The more absurd thing about it is that's the third show that they made about me within that year that it came out.
And what year was that?
It was in 1999. Right. This is a true story, and nobody believes this because this was before YouTube and like Facebook and all this stuff. I had three shows running on VH1 in 1999. I had two shows on MTV. At any given time, you could watch See Me on MTV, then literally turn the dial or click it over two things.
Wait, was
VH1.
It was this really late at night?
No, it was during the day. It was at night. It was before they had Surreal Reality, and that was a precursor to Surreal Reality, the series that they had.
They just took the good stuff, the fucking out.
And they just played it and played it and played it and played it and played it, and it just never ended. And so, like, think about it. Like, that, the fact that I, throwing lunch meat, it got me, like, six different shows on the MTV networks for 1999. And I became a superstar because of bologna.
Right.
And how it sticks on the rear ends of girls. It's absolutely insane, but everybody seemed to really get into it.
Right.
And they're still talking about it now. What is it, 14 years later?
14 years later. And it's the first thing that comes up, lunch meat.
Yeah. It's like, that's it. It's just like, that's how the early, a good thing I did other stuff after that, or I would have just been that guy that found that lunch meat sticks to girls.
But you did stuff before then. You were a musician. You've been a musician since you were 13, from what I understand.
Yeah, but look, I mean, look, everybody's something before they're something. And the fact of the matter is I wasn't famous until, you know, the VH1 wasn't putting me on air for music. You know, they heard about the porn thing. It actually came.
How do you become a porn director? That's what I want to know.
Well, I mean, I was really into film when I was younger. I did film even before I did music, you know, when I was younger. But back then, it was really, really tough. I mean, VHS cameras, you know, all that stuff. But I happened to get one, and so I just was making these little independent films and things like that.
Right. Did you ever star, or you just...
No, you see, like, that's the big misconception. Like, some people think that I did, but I'm gonna come clean. It's just that I'm not going to say that there isn't video out there around of me circulating in some circles, but I was never a star. It just happened that things got out of control, and
Private tapes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But you never put out a porno tape of you.
No, I had.
I think people were looking at Ron Jeremy thinking it was you. I don't know. Maybe that was happened. Or no, I guess not.
No, okay. Definitely not. All but like the whole Tommy Lee thing, when that all happened, I did it before he even did his thing. And the funny part about, I ran into Tommy Lee about 3 years ago on the set of Californication. I actually had to go sing Home Sweet Home with him. This is just a weird thing how I got called to do this, right? And he walked up to me as soon as I walked on set, and he goes, "Man, you look really familiar." And, you know, and I was just like,
everybody does that. The host of Neighborhood Loves, like, "I know you. I played in the band with you. Everybody knows
and
you."
And I felt so horrible. So if he's listening, I apologize. Yeah. But we're all older now. And even I have I look a little bit different, you know. Maybe not from the neck down. I still look fucking great. But whatever.
Christina, can you vouch for that?
I'll vouch for that.
Okay.
Yeah. And he saw me, and I just didn't want to tell him, "Oh, yeah, we were on this special because we had sex tapes, or we were in this magazine together."
Right, right.
Because he had a girl with him. And I was like, I think we played Download over in Europe together once or something like that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
He's like, why can't I place you? And then he was with this new girl, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember when you did that sex tape with, you know, and it always happens that way.
Right, so you were doing backstage. I mean, not only were you the precursor to Tommy Lee and all that, but, I mean, when you see Kardashian, Paris Hilton, and all these people that are just made a fortune, billions, doing what you did in the 90s.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
You know, I don't really think too much about, like, the Kardashians and all that stuff, because the difference really is that yeah, I did the tape thing first, and I did all that stuff first, and I put the rock stars in there first with the backstage slots, and we haven't even touched on that yet. But, you know, they were girls, and I'm not. So it's like, that was, like, they broke the last taboo, really. And that's why it was such a big deal.
Right.
You know, because now girls are trying to do it, and it doesn't matter. So
whatever,
you know, more power to them. I don't really, it doesn't really bother me that much. It is what it is. They did. You know who I'm upset for? Ray J. I feel bad for Ray J.
Ray J?
Because Ray J, that was his dick in the porno.
And you haven't heard from him since.
And his dick is not rich. And he's not rich, and he's not famous, and Kim Kardashian's worth $90 million. You know,
at the time, Ray J was more famous.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then now...
And he had to put in the work and do it, and do the tape.
Well yeah, I mean, I've seen the tape. He put in a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, and that's who I feel bad for. For me, I don't really care. You know?
But and it's funny, because I've known of you. I've heard of you. I mean, everybody... I mean, if you don't know who Matt Zane is, and you're watching the Dark Mark show, I don't know... You know, there's people, we take the Hollywood Underground and put it into your computer screen.
Yeah.
So there are some people that are like, oh, I just like the weird people that he has.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're into industrial music, if you're into metal, you know Society One. And you know Matt Zane. If you're into porn, you're probably watching the show. If you're into industrial, you're watching the show. If you're into metal, you're watching the show. You know Matt Zane.
That's a big problem, actually. We've been going through this problem, Christina and I, just recently.
Just today.
Because the problem, and you can even ask, you can only talk about as much as you want, but I always got to preface it, you know, that when we started dating, I told her, I said, look, I said, I know you've dated some people in the past that have been, you know, somewhat visual, you know, somewhat out in the scene. I'm not going to say who, whatever.
Right.
But I said, not one of them was really famous.
Right.
I said, what's going to happen when you start dating me is that everybody that knows you, probably most specifically men, it doesn't matter who they are, even if you don't think that they know me, every one of them is going to call you and warn you about me. Every one of them is going to know who I am, and nobody's going to have a goddamn good thing to say about me. And we're still going through it. It just happened as of last night. Another really good friend of hers, you know, like, you know, so yeah. Even if you don't admit it, you've probably heard about it, and most people...
No, in the late 90s, early 2000s, even if you never heard your music, which honestly, I never did.
That's cool.
And I don't know how.
Most people never did.
Because I was listening to it, I actually... Because there's no fucking record store, so I was going to go out and get a CD.
Well, thank you.
And I was listening to samples on iTunes and stuff. I like it.
Thank you.
I mean, that's my kind of stuff. I like that kind of industrial, groovy kind of metal music, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to compare you to people, but if you like Mance, if you like Rob Zombie, if you like, you know, industrial metal, Rammstein.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in that Static X, it's in that vein.
Yeah, but you got to understand, I mean, I don't really take offense to it, because everything that I did was more powerful than the music, in a sense. I'm not trying to put down my music career at all. And working with Alex, actually, is trying to, this time around, when I do the music, then we're actually really trying to make something that's going to stand on its own.
Right.
But, you know, prior to that, a lot of the reason why people didn't really see the music first is because of everything else that I had going around.
Right. And I had Sin Quirin, who used to play with you, was on my show last year. It was that, yeah, we had some girl dancing on the table. So it's a crazy thing. But, you know, so I mean, I'm familiar with the people that you have played with.
I'll tell you right now. I've had so many people that have gone on and that have been snatched up by bigger bands, it would blow your mind.
Like, it seems like Ministry's plucked everybody out of your band.
Just about. At one point, Ministry, believe it or not, and this is a wild story, half of Society One was actually Ministry.
Right, right.
Al Jurgensen was playing basically in front of my band.
Right.
At one point.
Right.
And it really blew my mind because, you know, look, I love Ministry, and I remember watching them on Headbangers Ball when I was a kid. You know, I grew up back in upstate New York in like a little village, and I remember seeing, you know, and then they did the whole Lollapalooza thing, and they were like the biggest band on Lollapalooza. I would have never imagined that this guy would have like basically pilfered my band members like at some point and be playing, you know.
So
like,
he's in a sense running Society One.
Yeah. At one point, for two records, when Paul Raven was still alive,
right.
he was playing in front of the Exit Through Fear version of Society One.
Right.
And not a lot of people know that. And a lot of people think that, like, I make that up. But that's the truth.
I know you're not making it up. I did some research. And I'm a big Ministry fan, too.
I
forgot to mention, I could tell that influence in your music, too.
Well, I mean, that was actually a really big influence. And it was funny because, for him to actually go, you know, Al, to go and kind of choose musicians, it's a really great compliment to me, because he must have listened to the records or music or something.
Sure.
And said, wow, you know, like, I need to... you know, I obviously, this will be great for my new band.
But he never thought to collaborate with you.
No, you know, I mean, there was obviously like a little thing between him and I when it went down, because, I mean, look, I mean, the fact of the matter is it was my band first, and then, you know, he had my members. And listen, more power to
you. Do you have some embarrassing videotapes of Al and some backstage sluts? Is that what's happening?
No, and I do have a lot of other guys, and right. Some of them I've never released, you know?
Right, and we're going to get back to that, because these two Motor Mouse will go on all fucking night. I don't want to shortchange Alex, because this happened last time you were here. Yeah. Last time you were here, it was my birthday show. You were in the studio with
fun.
A bunch of hot girls.
That was fun.
And you talked maybe twice. I
wasn't important at that time.
You were enjoying it like I was.
But he was probably getting all the girls' numbers.
But he probably was. No, Alex is very quiet.
Indeed.
Very under the radar. But you're a classically trained musician. Mm-hmm. How many instruments do you play?
Oh, let's see. I play piano, guitar, bass. I'm not a very good drummer, but those three.
So basically everything.
Kind of.
Because you were described as, you know, like a Prince, Trent Reznor thing. And
what?
You know, well, I was talking to your mom, but you play all the instruments is what I'm saying.
You were talking to my mom?
No, actually, Elizabeth was telling me that you were like a Trent Reznor guy. You could play every instrument, and it was telling me how great a musician you were. And then I listened to your stuff too, and I was very impressed.
Right on, thank you.
And but I didn't know you were in Gothic Beauty magazine too.
Yeah, it was. We had an online feature instead of the print. But
oh, you weren't in print. Okay.
No, but it was actually kind of better because it's easier to, you know, to distribute and everything.
Right.
Out there.
Right.
So it was cool.
And also you played some, because you apparently your music is somewhat vampire influenced.
There's a bit of that in it. Yeah.
Are you a vampire?
No.
Okay.
That's the thing, like everyone.
Because I've had vampires in the studio.
Everyone is kind of putting us into that category because on the first album there's a couple of songs with that kind of a theme to it. But we're not a vampire band at all.
Played a vampire convention.
We did. We got asked to play the Austin Vampire Ball in October.
I didn't even know there was an Austin Vampire Ball. Where have I been? You should have told me this, Alex.
It's cool. We played the second year of it.
Because I went to the New Orleans Vampire Ball, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done that before. I've never been to Austin. I was thinking about going to Austin this year. I was like, man, I should have gone there.
Yeah, I love it.
I could have hung out with you and, you know, got your leftovers and the whole thing.
Have you been there before?
I've never been to Austin. I should go. I mean, I hear it's great and it's, yeah. And Austin Vampires, Texas Vampires?
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of hot ones too.
Oh yeah, because I hosted a vampire convention once, and you ever played in vampire conventions, Matt?
Probably.
These girls think they're real vampires.
Yeah, I don't know.
This girl's trying to show me her fangs. I'm like, dude, you just didn't get braces when you were a kid. You're not a fucking vampire. Did you get some of that? Like people really thought they were vampires?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when they say hold the garlic, they're not kidding.
No.
No. Okay. So
it's a lifestyle.
Right, right. And when you started, you were more into black metal and...
Yeah, actually...
How do you go from classical music to black metal? That's what I want.
It was interesting. I started on piano, and then I started on guitar. I moved to guitar, and then I ended up getting into, like... Actually, when I started getting into heavy metal is when kind of when the new metal scene was exploding. It was like Korn and Cold Chamber, Society One.
Right.
And that's what got me into it. And then I went from that to the more extreme black metal, death metal.
Right.
And then I switched into the combination of all of that, which is like kind of melodic, gothic metal, which is what I'm doing now.
Kind of what you're doing now, yeah. And and funny you should mention Korn, because we're going to get back to the Motor Mouth, but we'll get back to you. You were telling me out in the lobby, something about Jonathan Davis from Korn, his bachelor party?
Yeah, back in the day, Jonathan and I actually used to be friends, you know, before I had my little falter of fame, and you know, and then you know, most of the people they run away.
Is this pre or post the porno?
When did I know John? I knew John during like the peak of all the porno stuff. Yeah, if you actually go, and I'll tell you, if you go to Follow the Leader, his biggest record ever, he thanks me by name on that record.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually, believe it or not, even invited into that session and watched most of that record get recorded down at Energy. But the interesting thing about me and Jonathan Davis, besides the fact that he was in my movies, was I actually threw his bachelor party for him. I think the second time that he was married, or maybe the wife that he's married to now. I don't know who he's married.
I'm not up on Jonathan Davis's marital situation.
Yeah, me neither. But I'll tell you what I did. I got a call from his manager one day, and he goes, "Look, man," he goes, "you know, we got to make this like really cool." And I go, "Well, you know, don't worry about it. Leave it to me, right?" So we had all these we had all these things, and we threw it at my house at the time. And you know, we had obviously we started off with lap dances, strip teases, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the point where cover your ears for a second. We actually let him put a glove on, and there was this girl named Alicia Class. I don't know if you remember her, but she was like this really big Seymour Butts girl who's like really
famous. Right. Like I say, the name sounds familiar. Yeah. Her thing was, we
actually let him fist her, you know, right in the crowd. Like, this is a big party, you know. Right. And everybody was there, like from Pauly Shore to Les Claypool, Tito Ortiz was there. I mean, it was like, you know, whatever. Right. So, you know, we did all these various things and all this stuff. And at the very end, we had this really attractive, like, Asian girl come out and do, like, this super dance and everything. And it was, like, the big climactic thing. It was super, really. But nobody knew, except for me, that it was a tranny. Right. So after this
pre-op,
this was had a thing the whole
pre-op.
And that was the joke, you know, because everybody was like getting really into it in the whole bit, and everybody you know, and I'm the only one that knew that obviously the tranny. And then right at the time, you know, turned around, everybody's like, yeah, they got so worked up, she was amazing,
right?
And then boom, dropped those pants, and that little fucking ding-a-ling, you know, popped out, and people just went crazy. I mean, it was just like, holy shit. And he ended up loving it, and everybody loved it, and it was like the greatest fucking thing ever. And yeah, that was his bachelor party.
You gotta take your little dicks with your fisting. I mean, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, it was a special evening. It really was. That was also the evening that Fred Durst came up to me and said that he wanted me to sing on the next album, which was Significant Other, and luckily I didn't.
What do you mean, luckily you didn't? That album was huge.
I don't care. Because it's just like,
I mean, the money that album made, and you know, I don't like Limp Bizkit myself. I was, you know, but you can't deny. Listen, at that time, that was the biggest fucking thing ever.
Oh, they were, and I totally agree with that. But if you remember when they were trying to get a guitar player years later, I mean, even people like Dino were saying that it was career death. You know, like just you know, like nobody respects it. I mean, you know,
right.
So,
I mean it came and it went. I remember at the time, just you couldn't get away from that shit.
Oh no, I couldn't get
rolling. Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up, but. Everybody was into it.
No, we used to be friends. You know, yeah, he was in a couple of my flicks, too. You know, the first time he was ever in Spin Magazine was in one of my articles. He came over to my house and said, you know, hey, I mean, he'll deny it now, but if you go back and you look at the first time he was ever in Spin, it was when I was in Spin in 1998.
Right.
And he had a little thumbnail because he was in one of my movies, and he came over and he looked at the frame thing up on the wall, and he goes, man, Matt, thank you so much. I've always wanted to be in Spin Magazine.
Right.
And who knew that he was going to blow up?
He was going to be on the cover.
Yeah, the biggest rock star. But
now, when you say that Jonathan Davis and Fred Durst and all these people, they're not fucking in the movies, though, are they?
Well, no. The Fred Durst actually, he let a girl put her hand down his pants. In one of the movies, and he did it like in an Afro wig. I guess he thought he was going to be disguised. I don't think they knew they were going to be as big as they were. I kind of had an inclination. I was just telling her the other night that they were going to be big. So, and Jonathan,
I was going to say the Afro wig is that you don't get props on the street for that one. I
don't know what he was doing really, but Jonathan Davis didn't. But believe it or not, my good friend Lynn Strait, you know, rest in peace.
Right.
He actually from Snot. He actually was the first rock guy before Evan Seinfeld, before all these cats.
Right.
He actually did it in the movie. He whipped it out and he full on did it. Two girls. So well, some of the rock stars. Yeah, some of the rock stars did.
I mean, but he was probably the biggest name, or was there other names or
that ever did it, or in the movie?
In the movie.
I mean, in the movie, obviously Jonathan Davis was, you know,
right, but
I mean,
who actually had sex.
Yeah, definitely Lynn.
Right.
I mean, Lynn was just crazy. I mean, he was just always up for like a really good time. So he just was just. I mean, I know a lot of kids.
Do you still do the pornos? I don't even know. I mean, I'm so backwards.
No, I mean,
I remember Dirty Debutantes. That's how back I go. I don't even know. Yeah.
No, I mean, I kind of got ostracized from the industry, you know. I mean, they took what I did and they made a whole thing out of it, and then everybody, you know, it just changed, man. You know, when I did my thing, and then all the companies kind of followed what I did, and then they started trying to pull in people to direct, like Dave Navarro, who directed movies, and you know, they get all these celebrities now into being sex tapes now and stuff. So after I went and got into the whole suspension thing and the Satanism thing, when I now it's like they were too afraid. Like I remember hearing, I had an interview up over at Penthouse, and they won't admit it, but the president over there, whoever was heading the production, said, oh no, that's Matt Zane. He you know, he put the tattoo on his back and the hooks down at that. No, we don't want him in these offices. No.
But wait a second. So, but you mentioned Dave Navarro. He's all for suspension now. That's all I.
Well, I mean, Dave Navarro. You can go to his blog. He learned suspension and got into it. He originally got involved in it through me. He had a show.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know this, again, because the blog wasn't that big, and he had a show on a Spread Television, which was like an internet thing at the time.
Right.
And we met, I think, at the Rainbow one night through somebody.
Right.
And he knew who I was, and he was like, somebody said, oh, yeah, you should have Matt on your show and do a suspension. He never did a suspension. He didn't even know what it was.
Right.
I have pictures from the show. And I went to a show, and he pulled me aside before the suspension. And he goes, hey, Matt, nobody knows this yet, but I directed a porno, too, and it's going to come out. And I was like, oh, dude, you know, totally cool for you.
Right.
He was a super nice dude. And then I took my shirt off to go do this, and he's just sitting there with his mouth open, just watching this whole thing. He couldn't believe it. And he goes,
because I always see him in fetish clubs now, and he's all, he's into everything.
Yeah, well, no, but you can search the blog, and he says straight up, he goes, after I saw Matt do it on my show, and I asked him, you know, what it was about, it still took me, I think he said it still took him 3 years to get it up enough to the courage enough to actually try it.
Right.
And he uses the same piercer that I do, Steve Joyner, who is a big time guy from Core.
Right.
And then he eventually even started to integrate it into Jane's Addiction. But we were doing that before them. And again, I'm not talking, I love Jane's Addiction. I mean, this is their performance. A lot of people don't know that we were doing that. And I was suspending and singing, you know, years and years and years before Dave and before he brought Jane's in.
I was telling Jenny that, I think it was crack.com, which was the number two most irresponsible, crazy live act in the world.
Of all time.
You know, and it's funny because Gigi Allen was not number one.
No. Because you know why? Because I love Gigi Allen too, and I'm a big Gigi Allen fan. We used to actually watch the Hated movie over in Europe before we'd go on stage just to get us pumped up.
I love the Hated movie.
Yeah, it's great.
But I mean, you know, I would never go see him. I mean, throwing shit at people.
But that's the shit's the scariest part. But here's the thing. Anybody can shit and throw it at people, and anybody can try to punch people out. Yes, he did it, and I give him credit for that, and he was the true punk rock of all punk rock legends. I totally dig it.
It's funny because I took my nephew to see Suicidal Tendencies, and I was telling him, he's like, who do you think was the ultimate punk rocker? I'm like, well, you got to see this. And I showed him Hated. He's like, dude, what the fuck is that?
No, and it is crazy. Right. But the thing is, I think the reason why we kind of beat him was because anybody could come around and still do that. And people have tried to beat my suspension records because not only was I the first singer to sing in front of 40,000 people suspended, full set, rocks, the whole blah, 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 blah. After that, I actually broke a bunch of world records in suspension.
Right.
I broke like the longest world suspension. I was the first guy to play guitar suspension. And, you know, people have been trying to beat it since, and they just can't. So it's just kind of like, that's why I think it made it, because it's something that you just can't reproduce.
Well, tell me, what's the sensation of it? Because I still don't get it.
Well,
trust me, if anybody has loose skin around here, it's me. So, I mean, I should probably get into it, but I don't know. I mean, I've read interviews with you, you say it's painful.
Yeah. Well, the 6-hour one was painful. That was the most painful thing I ever went through.
Right.
Ever. I mean, no man in recorded history has ever hung for 6 hours with four hooks before.
What was the previous record?
Chris Angel held it, but he held it with 8 hooks at 5 hours and 42 minutes, and he did a Superman, which means, like, you know, he was horizontal.
Right.
I did a vertical hang with only 4 hooks for 6 hours.
Oh.
So, yeah, you know, that was so painful that I started having, like, auditory hallucinations, and I was having out-of-body experiences, and it took me, like, 3 months to recover. And the psychological,
Christina's having an out-of-body experience right now.
She knows something about that stuff.
Is the skin, like, flappy afterwards?
Yeah, it's not just flappy. You get, like, air bubbles and stuff. When I actually did download over at Europe, I had to get on a plane the next day to start another tour in America, and at one point, because of the altitude, the air bubbles were, like, getting bigger in my back, and I actually had to take off my shirt and show the staff at one point to see if, like, because I was bleeding, like, profusely down my back. And I'd explain to them, like, yo, I just did this show yesterday, and this is the result, so everybody calm down. Because it was, like, bleeding through my shirt, and I'm on the plane. They didn't know what the hell's going on, you know? Like, having some, like, type of exorcism or something, you know, happening. So, yeah, I mean,
Stigmata!
Exactly. So, yeah, there's all types of repercussions. But it really depends on what type of suspension it is, or how long you go up there for, or whatever. But the 6-hour was definitely painful, and it was the worst one that I ever did.
So, and there's a famous picture, you know, that you have on your website, I guess, in your Facebook page, of you over 40,000 people suspended, and it's crazy.
Listen, that was like the problem.
The crowd must have been going crazy.
Well, you got to understand, like, people look at suspension now, and you mentioned Dave Navarro, and again, I really dig Dave, and I think he's an amazing dude, and I think he's done an amazing thing.
Dave was stalking me earlier last year. Yeah. Everywhere I would go, he'd be there, and I'm like, dude, Dave, you're... Yeah. You gotta leave me alone. Yeah. Okay, I dig you. I like Jane's Addiction, but come on, dude.
No, so it's cool. So a lot of people know about suspension now, right? But when I was doing it back in the days that I started to do it, there was only three people that had ever done it prior to that. Not three, but only three kind
Chris
of.
Chris Angel.
Chris Angel was one of them. He did it once, and there was Joey Strange that was doing a lot of really great stuff. Joey Strange was the first guy to get suspended from a helicopter, and he was on Ripley's Believe It or Not. And
right.
Then Chris Angel ripped it off from him a couple of years later.
Right.
So anyways, there was those two people, but nobody had ever done it in the context of music, and people were still trying to, nobody even thought it was real still.
Right.
So when I did it at the Download Festival, I mean, people were passing out, people were puking, people were crying. Right. I mean, because it was still so different and new, nobody really knew what was going on. It was so big over there that the BBC, they made a television show about Download. It was just about Black Sabbath and us. And then we got nominated for like a Grammy over there. It wasn't the equivalent of like a Grammy. It was like the London Symphony Orchestra in like Society One and like
Best Live
Two.
Show. Is that what it is?
Was that
best
live show? Yeah, right. of the year. So yeah, it was
did
a really
the symphony orchestra beat you.
They did actually. Yeah,
I had a feeling.
Yeah, they did.
A feeling because you didn't get a vote. You two over you, but come on.
Yeah. No, but so it was really wild because it was something new and a lot of people just weren't really understood what it was. No singer had ever done it before. And it was just, and nobody's ever suspended in such in front of a big crowd ever before either. I mean, it was a million firsts all over the place.
So now that suspension is sort of mainstreaming.
It's a lot more mainstream now.
You're always ahead of your time.
Oh, absolutely. But I really get credit for it. You know, Dave Navarro gets the credit.
Well, not on this show. And Dave's cool.
No, I dig Dave.
Yeah, but he wasn't the first guy to do it.
No, and he says it. And that's the other cool thing about Dave. A lot of people give him slack for being such a pretty man and all that stuff. And I tell everybody.
Well, not me because I'm prettier. But
yeah,
that's,
I hear you. Yeah. I think any guy would cut off their nut normally to be him. But no, the cool thing about that him, unlike a lot of people, like when I beat Chris Angel's record, you know, back in 2008, Chris got me banned from his website. And as soon as you typed in my name to talk about,
I was going
to
ask if there was some bad blood between you and Chris Angel.
Yeah, it was some bad news, and he would have people. I knew somebody that was on his staff actually at the time, and they called me secretly and said, "Yeah, we had a 15-minute conversation about you in the meeting up at the Luxor today about how you beat the record, and we're just going to try to keep it. You know, we're just going to try to suppress it because all his fans can't talk about it.
Right.
So yeah, it was just, it's totally more mainstream now. But back then it wasn't. It was something new, it was something different, it was something really exciting, and it was scary for us even, because even the people that I was doing suspension with didn't understand if it was even possible.
Right.
You're gonna try to sing while suspended? Is that even possible? Well, I don't know, it's never been done before.
Right.
We didn't know.
Right.
We had no idea.
And did it affect your singing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was harder to play guitar when I did the guitar thing in like 2007.
Well, I would imagine, yeah.
But you know.
You bend the notes, your hookup pops out, something like that.
It felt like it, you know. Right. But yeah, it was definitely something new. And I've had a ton of people come up to me since then. You know, I've done suspension because of you.
Right.
You know, I mean, even in Dave, again, super cool guy that admitted like, hey, partially the reason why I got into this was because of Matt. So,
And how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, I wrote Dave after that because we're friends on Facebook. I said, dude, thank you so much, man. Yeah. Somebody of your caliber, I mean, you're obviously a bigger star. You know,
right.
You didn't have to say anything, you know,
right.
So thank you. I really appreciate
it. You know what's funny about Dave Navarro is I remember I was at a club and I was talking to this girl. She's like, oh, Dave Navarro's over there. I'm like, yeah, I know. He follows me around. What can I tell you? And she's like, you know, he sucks. I'm like, he's a fucking great guitar player. What are you talking about? She's like, he plays guitar? Like, nobody knows what the fuck he does now.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate because those are amazing records. And he's a great guitar player.
Right.
And he's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody knows. They just think he's like some pretty guy that runs around and is on tattoo shows, whatever.
Right.
Whatever
that's what people think of Alex Crescioni, who you're working with now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you're producing Society One.
Correct.
One of your influences.
Yeah.
And how'd that work? How'd that come about? How'd you meet this fucking maniac?
Oh, we met through Tina.
Oh.
Oh, who's Tina?
Oh.
We did.
Not Christina.
Not me.
No, there's a Tina.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Is this somebody possibly, then Christina, could you cover your...
No, she knows.
Is this somebody maybe the two of you had sex with? Like?
No.
Oh, no. No.
No.
Oh, like
well, yeah. No, I did have sex with her, but I didn't want to.
Did you have sex with her, Alex?
No.
So she introduced you to Matt.
Well, yeah, I was trying out for her new project, and they were dating, and he was doing
this
vocals.
Is not Tina Yothers from Family Ties, is it?
No.
I wish.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of famous Tina.
Yeah,
it's not Tina Turner.
No.
Wait, that would be cool, too.
Wait, is that Tina? Was it Tina Turner?
No. I would be proud of that. I'd be like, yo, hey, you know.
How do you? I don't even know how to pronounce her.
Oh, me neither. I don't even remember it actually. To be
okay, some unknown Tina. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and, have you met Matt before? Or you just,
No.
Mm-mm. But you were a fan of Society One.
Mm-hmm.
You'd actually heard of it, and you got past the porno movies. And did you watch the porno movies?
I haven't seen any of them.
Right.
I'm curious.
But you've heard the stories.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be able to go to Subway again. You know that.
Yeah, well, hey, you know.
But so
that's what I do. I change your consciousness forever. You know, I introduce you to things. And
I'm not going to be able to go fishing. I can't go to Subway.
Listen, you know, things get synthesized, and then like the association between the two just never goes away.
I guess not.
That's the problem. You know, I told her, you know, after dating me, nothing's ever the same ever again. That's it.
So, I mean, but Society One, now the last album you guys put out was when?
Well, the last album that we actually released, or the last one that was on a label, I mean, there's...
The last one that was out, that was the last one that...
The last
full length...
The last real record that got like a big push that we did a world tour for, right. It was called The Sound That Ends Creation, and it came out on Earache Records, and I think that came out in 2005.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, and... You've done stuff since. I mean, you probably put something out last year that I didn't even know.
No, you know, we really haven't done much since. That's the whole thing. Like, I did so many things after that the suspensions and my books, and I did acting for a while, and I was on some shows.
Yeah, I'm looking at the books, by the way. I forgot to call you your lordship, too. That's, yeah. Please forgive me.
That's quite all right.
But you've written Transcendental Satanism,
mm-hmm.
and Release and Demise,
mm-hmm.
and can I take these home and read these? Is this, or do I have to give them back?
Oh, I don't know. You can take them. Sure.
No, I'll give them back.
Well,
a collection of poetry, which is interesting.
No, I mean, we can. We'll get more. Yeah,
no, that's okay. No, I'll get back to you.
If you're really gonna read them for real, then you can take them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. I don't like giving my books away. I don't care about records, whatever. But my books, for whatever reason,
no,
I don't know.
I'll give them back to you. I'll buy them. Don't worry.
No. I don't want you to buy them. That's not the point. I don't mind giving them away if you're really gonna read them. That's the thing. If you're telling me you're really going to read those, you can have those.
Right.
But if you're just going to throw those like to the side, like with all the other guests that people give you shit and stuff,
no,
you got to give them back. That's the only thing.
Right.
If you're going to read that, and I'm going to expect it. You're on my friends list now. I will write you in six months.
We're friends now.
I'll be like, yo, Mark, tell me like what you thought about this,
right.
You know, and I'm going to expect an answer.
Okay,
you can have those if you're really going to read them.
All right. Well, I don't want to sit there and fight it with you over that for the rest of the show. We'll figure it out. By the end of the show, I'll make up my mind whether I'm going to read them or not.
Okay. If you don't,
fair enough.
That's all I'm saying. If you don't read them, just give them back. But if not, they're yours.
But I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about Satanism. I mean, I know a little bit.
Well, you don't need to know anything because I redefined the whole thing and made my own version.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. You can just start brand new right from that book right there.
Right. And the poetry I can just, which is under the Lord Zane.
Yeah.
Routine thing, but look, getting back to Tina
mm-hmm.
says that's Society One. So you haven't really put out a real full length album since 2005.
Yeah, we did like some videos.
Okay,
you know, and that was it since then. We never really put out a full length. We recorded a full length.
Right.
Never released it.
And we're gonna get back to that because speaking of videos,
yeah.
I watched the video that you just directed.
Mm-hmm.
With DMC from Run DMC and Wayne Static from Static X.
Yes, another facet of my career that people are not very aware of.
Well, it's interesting because I don't want to lump you in with every porno director, but I've met Gregory Dark. I went to a party at his house. Real nice guy.
Yeah.
He directs music videos too.
Yeah.
But he's
really the only one though. He's really the only one that came out of porn that was able to go in. He did a movie as well.
Right.
So he's you know. There's not many of us, you know.
Right.
So you're not lumping us into a lot. There's really only two of us.
Right.
There's Gregory Dark, and then there's me. Because a lot of other people that try to cross over, they couldn't have.
And what other music videos have you directed?
I've done stuff for Wayne Static. I did his last two music videos.
Okay.
For Pig Hammer.
Right.
And, what was it called? Assassins of Youth.
Okay.
That was a really big one. I did Orgy's last video.
Okay.
I did something for Zach Wilde last year. It wasn't a music video, but it was with his music and him, and he was in it. It was a little short.
Right.
I did DMC in Static X. I did that video. I was operator. I didn't direct, but I was actually DP on a Tim Armstrong video of Rancid.
Okay.
For a side project that he had. Who else did I do last year? Am I missing anybody? Did I get it? Those are like the big names that I did.
Right,
I've been trying to direct a music video for Alex's band Diminish 7, but apparently I haven't impressed them enough yet. So
it's not true.
And how do you describe your band?
Let's
see. Was it Diminish 7, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's It's a mixture of like gothic metal, and there's a little bit of industrial here and there, but it's pretty melodic, and it's
right.
heavy guitars, melodic vocals, lots of synths.
Right.
So it's kind of like if you took Cradle of Filth, Him, Catatonia, My Dying Bride, and stuff like that. And
you
like
right, right.
Mushed them together.
And you sing,
mm-hmm.
and you play all the instruments.
On the recordings, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the Trent Reznor style. And then you got a band. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back, so Matt Zane wants you to produce his stuff.
Well, no, it didn't happen that easily. No. He had to work for it.
Well, what happened was we...
You have to, yeah.
No, nothing like that.
There was no fisting involved?
There was no fisting involved.
Okay.
No, well...
He's a good-looking guy and all, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, trust me. I posted a picture of him. Instagram is going crazy.
Yeah, I know. It must be nice, you know?
Yeah. Oh, please. Both of you guys, you walk into a club, forget it. And then I post a picture to you. Girls were going fucking crazy. I post a picture of me, they're like, you look okay. And you guys... You get the long hair, you get the rock star look. I mean, it must be great walking into a club. Well, here's the thing. Walking into a club and just turning everyone's head.
Well, a lot of guys, too. He does, for real. I have a girlfriend.
Right.
So as long as I turned her head, I can't believe I got her. So that's whatever.
Score.
Yeah, it is a huge score.
Right.
Trust me. Like, I tell her every day. But, I mean, look at her. Look, she's got the T-shirt on and everything. You know?
It's very, very, very good marketing.
But Alex, yeah, he does that for sure.
No, I've seen Alex in the club.
Yeah.
I've seen him,
yeah.
And he's very low key though.
The first time we met, what was that?
Noise Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna have him on. I had Sweetie from Flavor Love, and I was gonna pair them together, and then something happened, and
yeah.
So, but I saw it. You're very stealth. You're very nonchalant.
Mm-hmm.
You let them come to you.
Well, you could do that when you look like him.
But Matt and I. I mean, as people have noticed through this whole show, which is. God, it just went by like this.
Is it done?
No. We got 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
But Matt and I, we just walk in and try to take over a room, and we're just blah, 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 blah. You're just like sitting in the corner going.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to, though. I mean, look at him. I tell him all the time. I say, Alex, enjoy it now because another 10 years, dude. It's especially the amount that you drink, you know?
hey, yeah.
Well, are you Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Crescioni. Mm-hmm. And you go by the real name, too.
What's that?
Go by the real name, too.
Yep.
We're all Italian here.
I'm a quarter Italian, so yeah. Come on. Hey, can we get some spaghetti over here? Let's get some linguine going on.
But getting back to Alex's amazing producing skills, though.
How did he have to work for you?
Okay, so here's the thing. I met him through this audition that he came for this project that I was writing for. I'm not going to mention who, whatever. But he was really excited, I remember, because Logan Mader was actually in on it.
Okay.
And he wanted to hand his CD to Logan. So he pissed off the actual artist, because that's what he did.
And it's a big, big major label artist or somebody that used to be on a major label?
It's relatively...
Somebody that we would know.
Yes.
Okay.
And he pissed her off from doing that.
Right.
And I liked that. And I was like, hey, dude, that's...
You never told me.
So, wow, you're an asshole. I like you.
We never had that conversation?
No.
Oh, you blew it because of that's what happened. You should have never walked in. Because you were great. You walked in. You were like a real rock star. Everybody said afterwards, like, wow, you know, you had really something really special about you. That was a conversation that all of us had. So that should make you feel good. But then when you handed that CD off, yeah, that really pissed her off. And then I think you got the gig and you turned it down.
I did.
And you did. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. After that, you were like...
Whoa, wait a sec. So this is a high-profile gig.
It wasn't quite yet. It is now.
It had potential to be?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, he probably would have been in a...
And you turned it down for what?
Basically because, I don't know, I wasn't really feeling the new material that she was sending me. And
okay.
Who didn't write the new material?
Hmm?
The new material you heard, I didn't write.
I
just want to put that out there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was written by
okay.
the other individual.
Oh.
The newer material, you would have liked the stuff that you originally heard you liked. That was stuff I wrote.
Oh.
Yeah, he's learning all stuff.
You guys are like talking in code. I can't even find
No, okay, but anyways, we kept in touch, and you know, he just kept improving his studio, and he just kept producing bands and stuff. And I actually did a record last year with some big producers. I had Raymond Herrera from Fear Factory.
Right, right.
And Jeremy Blair that did freaking Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Okay, and he did some other stuff too. And they were great. They were really cool. But when it was said and done, I don't know. Like, it just, there was something that they've been around the block a million times. I didn't really know how much they really were into it. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. Just something, for whatever reason, the record didn't really gain any traction. We didn't even release it. We sent it to a bunch of people. Right. And finally, it just came to the point. I said, Alex, you know, your ear is to the ground. You are in the scene. You listen to all the music. You know all the latest stuff. It's like you're just a younger guy that's just, right. you're hungry. You know, you right. have, you're not up in the hills, you right. know, sitting around doing blow, looking everything, you know, treating people like shit.
Right, like I am.
Yeah. And and I said, hey, let's just try to just do this one little demo thing and see how it turns out.
Okay.
And we did it, and it was good enough. And I'm like, okay, I think this is where we need to tweak things, but let's do it. And that was it. Hired him, and we just did all the drums. We did, what, 9 songs, 10 mm-hmm. songs, something like that. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to be releasing one song every 6 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. That seems to be the new thing, yeah.
And I'm just trying to do the new thing because the music industry has changed so much since I've been gone. And that's right. part of getting Alex, you know, because he is so talented. You know, and he may be quiet, but the guy is like, I mean, he's an amazing musician. I mean, forget all the jokes I make about the dude because I joke with him all the time. But,
right.
But he, you know, as a producer, you know, I really think he has the potential, like in the next 10 years, like he won't come in here and have a show with us. Me and you, right, we may right, be friends. Right. We'll come in here. Christina will come in here. Alex, right. He won't.
I think Alex will come
yeah.
in.
No,
he'll come in.
Yeah.
If Elizabeth's in, if she makes her flight and comes in, because I know he emailed me today. He's like, Elizabeth can't make it. Are you still doing it? I'm like, yes, I'm still doing it. It's my show. But Alex, now when you go on tour, what type of stage persona do you have? Because you're so low key. I can't.
It's
even
not.
Imagine
it's
you.
It's nothing crazy. You know, it's the show is. You know, it's very. Our show right now is just pretty low key. You know, it's nothing right. crazy. It's just about, you know, listening to the music and. All my musicians are really good. Like, they're all very talented.
But you're not like a David Lee Roth jump around. No. You're more of a guy.
I just kind of turtle, I kind of chill and, you know, just look sexy.
Hey, if it works, it works. Yeah, and I'm sure the girls go crazy.
So far,
I mean, I don't even know if there's any vampires left in Texas after you got through with them.
There's no, maybe. I don't know.
But you don't perform in a nude.
No.
You know who does? Or who has?
Who did?
You don't do it anymore?
No. I'm still trying to, like, you know, keep the body looking the same after all these years.
So if we go to the House of Blues on January 15th.
They gave me provisions already, and she was with me. And she
no
knows.
Hooks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They won't even let me take my shirt off at the House of Blues.
What?
Am I lying? Like, remember the big conversation we had? Remember, like, what he said? He was just like, yo, dude, here's the rules this time right. when you go to the House
but,
of Blues.
But could she take her shirt off?
No, definitely not. And if she could, then there would be, like, even more people. But
I was going to say.
Yeah. No, none of that at House of Blues. And I almost got arrested for that on multiple occasions, and you can find the article up online still. I had to get smuggled in the trunk of a car out of Milwaukee one year because I did that. And
right.
Yeah, the guy that I was actually booking my band at the time, he was a very famous booking agent. He lost, like, all these bands. None of his bands were ever allowed to come through there again because of that. Oh. I got kicked off the Orgy Tour because I did that once. I got detained by the police. I had a lawsuit once because of it. So, yeah, I don't do that anymore. That part's done. I just let that. The only person
your
sees
dick
me,
is wanted in 36 states.
Pretty much. And the only thing that I do now, only person that sees me take my pants off is my girlfriend, and that's it. I may take my shirt off.
You're such a nice guy. What happened to the old Matt Zane?
Listen. That we talk about that all the time, and that. Listen, I just want to say one quick thing about all that. Look.
Right.
Listen, if you eat.
If your penis could talk.
No, listen. No, no, no.
Thank God it can't.
Yeah. Listen, you know, when you are inundated with that lifestyle, and you, for real, when it's to the point where it's just like so, it's like anything else. You eventually right. get over and you got to move on and do other stuff.
Sure.
And it wasn't healthy at the end, you know? It really wasn't, because I could tell you some horrible stories.
Right.
Maybe another time, because.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got time for one.
I just want to make sure that we get all my plugs in.
The Papa Roach song. You have to mention that.
Oh, so let's talk about Papa Roach, and then we can.
Papa Roach wrote their. One of their big singles, I Almost Told You I Love You.
Right.
That single was actually written about me. And you can go online on YouTube and Google my name and them and they made an interview.
So they sang a song, I Only Told You I Love You?
This is how it happened. I was in Energy Studios one day. I was doing a record. And I went to the lobby and the lead singer for Papa Roach came out in the middle. And he goes, oh, wow, man, this is really nice to meet you. You know, he hadn't seen me in a long time or see you or right. whatever. And he goes, look, I've been watching this movie that you did. It was called Tattooed and Tight. And I go, yeah.
Tattooed and Tight.
Yeah, yeah. It was a movie that I shot where girls would get tattooed while having sex at the same time. It was the first time it ever got done. A lot of people copied it afterwards, but I was the guy that did it. So, sorry, everybody.
I got to check out some of these movies.
Yeah, I know. I'm a fucking porno genius. Whatever. But, so
you
I go.
You almost said you got to get back into it, but then.
No. There's none of that. There's too much going on. But, so yeah. So he's showing me the movie.
Right.
And I can't believe you're making me tell this story. He goes, look at this girl right here. This one's really hot. And he's pointing to a girl. And I go, oh, my God, dude. That girl, I said, that girl is so amazing that, you know, when we were having sex, I almost told her I loved her. And I, you know, and then as that happened, the producer of their record walked around the corner and he heard the story and he goes, right. That's your next single. And they wrote a song and I actually penned the actual line that I almost told you I loved you. And it was about me and about that experience.
Did you get songwriting credit?
They didn't give me songwriting. They publicly gave it to me. Then they shot a video and they even put Suspension in the video as an homage to me.
Right.
So it's totally public. You can Google it. They talk about it. They didn't give me any money. And
That's the bottom line. Where's the money?
No money. They talked to me right when it was released. They were like, mm-hmm. Man, everybody's really loving it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then that was it. I lost touch and I never heard them again. But that song is about me. That is platinum. How many people can say they had a platinum selling act of whether you like them or not,
write
their hit single about you and then admit it? Like, look, yo, this isn't about us. It's not about our life. This is about Matt Zane. And that's how just
and
one of my...
And we're not going to pay him.
And we're not going to pay
but, we're going to take the money.
But listen, that's not a new story. I mean, that's why in 2 years, we got a lot of work to do. She becomes a lawyer. We're going to go after a lot of people. But anyways, not them, because they're all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that was exciting. It was cool. You know,
so every time you hear it on the radio, you're like, eh.
Well, it's just not that. It's just like, imagine. I mean, just like, I was just telling a story, you know, just like a story, and it became a song. Like, think about just being able to say, just talk. And like have musicians feel that what you say had enough impact that they're gonna base their not just a song, their single, their video for the entire
album. Have you ever had that happen where somebody told you a story? You're like, oh, song.
No.
Not even Alex?
Alex doesn't talk to me much. I think
Alex is very quiet.
Yeah. He just kind of sits there when we work and I don't even know if he's really listening half the time.
Which is good. He's not one of these producers throwing things at you, screaming at you, things like that. I'm sure you've had
that. He's great. I love working with the guy. I'm telling you. I don't know how many of your fans work or live in LA because I know you're everywhere.
Yeah, but most of them do, yeah.
But I'm telling you, man, for musicians out there, you know, you got to get this guy before it's too late.
Alex Crescioni is going to blow up. Yes, please. Yeah. All the top musicians that are listening to the Dark Mark show. You better get this guy.
Listen, just listen to his work. You know, his band's great. Don't get me wrong. We do shows together. We just did one together about a month ago.
And actually, I think we have a sampling of his band. If you wanna play a little bit of that.
Yeah, if there's time, that'd be great.
As long as I have time for my plugs.
Play like a minute of it.
Sweet.
No, it's the other one. Diminished Seven. We're gonna play some Diminished Seven. I'm sorry. I talking to my producer. Diminished Seven.
Thank you.
I kept waiting for the vocals, but
that's a teaser from the new album that I haven't recorded vocals for yet.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when do you anticipate that coming out?
Probably March.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And well, first off, I want to get to you, Matt, but you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Let's see. I guess just keep a lookout on Facebook for the new album. I'm going to put the track listing up, official track listing, in like probably a month.
And get the old albums, of course.
And all the old albums. You can check us out on diminish7.com, Facebook. Yeah, and that's it. Just check it out and, you know, give it a like on Facebook.
Okay. I will get right on that. And Matt, plug away.
All right, here we go, everybody. Check it out. Brand new year. First show of the year, House of Blues, January 15th, 10 o'clock. House of Blues, January 15th, 10 o'clock. It's going to be a great show. We have a brand new website, society1official.com. Society1official.com. You can get all our social media links and everything from there. And tomorrow we're starting a contest where if you sign up for our newsletter, you can be one of the five people to win a huge giveaway of our biggest selling DVD, Fearing the Exit, our biggest selling record ever, Exit Through Fear, plus a bunch of brand new decals of all the logos of Society One. All you got to do is sign up for the newsletter and you're automatically entered. The contest goes for 1 month. And you can find all this information and more, again, over at society1official.com.
Well, that was pretty efficient. Christina, any plugs for you?
Plug something.
Plugs for me? No.
Is your boyfriend the greatest?
He's amazing.
Okay. And, you know, I was going to get into your sex life, but we don't have time.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure it's all led up to this, right,
he's
Matt?
He's a great person.
No, he's cool. I was telling him, we've been in the same place at the same time. I know we've run into each other clubs, and we've never talked to each other. But, man, we're just two motor mouths, and we just got along great. And you're welcome on the show anytime, dude.
Listen,
I love
you
it.
Have, I'll give you
and
my
I will
number.
Be. I will be at the House of Blues. We'll exchange numbers. We'll
okay, yeah. Anytime for real. I had a great time.
Right, right. And I will be at the House of Blues. That's going to be a great week. You go see Matt at the House of Blues on January 15th. That's a Wednesday at 10 o'clock. The next night, Thursday at 10 o'clock, I'm going to do my show, and I'm going to go to Flappers. Check me out at Flappers. And this has been a great show. Alex, once again, you know, you talk a little too much, but it's cool. Christina, you're lovely. Matt, you're a lucky man.
I know.
And Matt, thanks a lot. This has been a great show. And I have to thank above all Elizabeth Aston, who put this all together. And please come home safe and keep warm. And everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Goodbye. Matt? We're gonna ride out with some Society One. How about
cool.
that? All right.
Great. Absolutely.
Which song do you want to play?
Play me.
Play me, and we're gonna go out onto some Society One. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week.